I'm a regular visitor to India, and what I want to achieve today is to really highlight some of the great opportunities I see for, particularly in the grape industry. I'm going to really focus on grapes, so I hope. But I think what we see on grapes is probably true of many other export products. Just a little bit of introduction about myself. I've been with Capespan 27 years. I have the pleasure of visiting many countries, particularly looking at table grapes. I've been involved in procurement of fruit in India, Egypt, Brazil, Peru, Chile. I've visited many other countries of supply, and of course, Capespan's heritage is South Africa. So I've been a regular visitor there. So I think I'm in a probably one of few people who have the opportunity to travel regularly to different industries, and I want to try and give you a little bit of a perspective of where India sits compared to the other industries in the world and what we can learn from those. I try and help our grower base here, and many of them are, I know we're out there in the audience, try and help them develop a global marketing strategy. And my aim is to create new opportunities for growers, particularly in my new role now with Capespan in market development. If you don't mind, I'll just spend a couple of minutes just running through a little bit about Capespan and our history in India. Then I'm going to give you an idea of India's global position in the world of grapes. I want to cover some points on what I consider to be best practice. Chile and Peru are two countries where really they're models for any export industry, and I'll show you some information about that and point out where we need to improve in India. I've tried to highlight some production gaps in the world, and I've identified 10 new market targets for India. And I'll show you the reasons why. I've got a slide on the latest trends in grapes worldwide. I finish off really highlighting some urgent industry issues for the grape industry. And I've had a little bit of a guess of where India might be in 2025. The Capespan Group, very quickly, we are a $680 million revenue organization, one of probably very few global fresh fruit companies. We're basically a marketing company. But we do own farms in South Africa as well, and a number of other logistical and infrastructure assets as well. We have a worldwide network. It's not complete yet. I think Capespan will keep on expanding. But we've got, obviously, 60, 70 years of heritage marketing South African fruit, so we've developed a global sales network. Capespan North America, Europe, the UK and continent, obviously key markets for us. We have historic companies in Hong Kong and Japan. In the last 4 years, we've made a joint venture with Golden Wing Mao in China, which is proving very exciting. China for us is a huge opportunity. And me personally, I've been responsible for the development of two new baby companies within Capespan, Capespan Egypt and Capespan Chile, which are trying to sell into the Indian market, as for one example. These are export companies working together with our grower base. And we may look to do more of that type of work in other countries in years to come. That's a list of our offices. I won't run through them, but they're all there for you to see. Just in numbers, we handle 46 million boxes of fruit worldwide, roughly evenly split between our South African fruit and our non-South African fruit. That's a very quick, it shows you the highlight. Grapes from non-South African sources, that's what I'm really spending a lot of my time on. But grapes in total, 30 million out of a total of the 46. Citrus is a very big area, and the Indian market for us is also a very great market and one that we're hoping is going to keep on growing. But also apples and pears. We're open to sell into India from our base in Chile and Egypt and South Africa. And that's roughly where we sell the fruit. Europe and UK still 55% of our sales. And we're going to see the Asian markets, I'm sure, keep on growing at a rapid pace. We're a brand-orientated company. These are brands that maybe some of you will recognize. Cape and Outspan being the two most well-known. But we've always supported brands, and I travel to a lot of different countries now, and brands are not so important in Europe anymore, but globally, outside of Europe, brands are really still very, very important. So we keep on supporting them in our advertising, our packaging, and just a few images there. That's a stand of ours at Asia Fruit Logistica. Cape Span in India. I've personally been coming here since around 2002. We really started to gear up our involvement since we met up with Mahindra, and in 2005. Since then, where we started with five containers, we've made year after year of progress. We've got a number of other large grower exporters that we also work with, and many of those are here today. Altogether, we represent 542 containers of grapes, and that's out of probably a total this year of around 5,500 to 6,000. And that's the UK, 100 containers, the continent, 440, and the other markets, unfortunately, are pitiful too. But that's an area where I really want to develop. I like to think that Cape Span has been an important part of improving, trying to constantly improve the image of Indian fruit with our help on post-harvest handling, packhouse training, cold chain management, food safety, and also marketing advice. And we've certainly we've seen from our customers a huge increase in their acceptability of Indian grapes. Just spend a minute or two on this chart, because what I've tried to do here is give you some information about the world's top 10 grape markets measured in tons. And I've shown here the countries that are competing with India in the current sort of period between January and the end of May. So we have South Africa, Chile, Peru, India, and Argentina supplying the world's markets. Now, that's the list of the 10 markets. Just to give you an idea of where India fits in terms of the total size of the grape export industry, 1.5 million tons of grapes are exported by these countries. And whilst the information is not always 100% accurate, and certainly from India, I have it's always a constant worry about the accuracy of the data that's available. But I've taken some information from APIDA, and I reckon India's exporting around 140,000 tons. So it represents roughly 10% of the grape exports of those five countries. Chile stands out at 859,000 tons. Chile stands out as a world leader in the grape export industry, and it should be looked at as a model country. It's a country that's a long way away from everywhere else, and still, they manage such a huge grape industry. South Africa is reasonably stable. Peru has grown hugely in the last 10 years, and I've got a slide on that in a second. What you'll notice here is all these little dashes where India doesn't participate in a number of markets. India's doing reasonably well in the UK and the continent compared to some of the other countries, but it is severely lacking in its exposure to many of the other important markets of the world. This next slide shows what I think are some of the key reasons why. Again, we've got the relative size of the industries at the top. The number of varieties exported. I'm being generous here. India has roughly six varieties. Some people would say it just has one, Thompson Seedless. The other comparable industries have, in South Africa's case, 50 different varieties of grapes. In Chile, 30 varieties. Peru, 20. And the Peruvian industry is really only really developed in the last 10 years. So India has a lot of work to do there. The number of worldwide markets that are sold to. Again, Chile is an outstanding example of market development. The Chilean government works extremely closely with the industry and has done great work in promoting Chile as a country of supply. 74 world markets open, many of which are not open to countries like South Africa, who've been in the industry exporting grapes for 50 years. Peru is following in the footsteps of Chile, really doing similar kinds of work, and already export to 56 markets. India, only 35. Even Argentina, which has a very small industry, exports to 26. So there's a lot of work that can be done on opening new markets. The percentage of grapes that are white seedless, which is India's historic export item, represents over 80% probably in India. And I'd say that statistic isn't really available, but I guess it could be even, it'll be probably well over 80%. Whereas in these other origins, look at Peru, only 10% of exports are white seedless. In Chile, 26% and seriously declining. South Africa, 35% and declining. So India has a huge amount to do in varietal development, and particularly away from the white varieties, which are, whilst still going to be important, most of the growth in demand is coming from red and coloured varieties. The dependence on the EU market, which historically, again, India has a high dependence on the EU, and this figure of 42% is actually a generous figure because the total exports include Bangladesh and some other regional markets, and if you take those out, the EU represents probably 70-80% of India's exports to non-regional markets. Whereas a country like Chile, only 17% is targeted at Europe, and given the size of their industry, that's a good benchmark to look at. So what's best practice in the grape industry? First of all, transparent data availability for customers, for exporters, to look at. Unfortunately, India is nowhere in this. We just don't have good information available. The Chilean industry and the Peruvian industry, you can buy data online on a daily basis, track shipments made by every exporter, every importer in the world. And the data is available for up to 10 years online. The industry bodies engage with markets, opening new markets, working with the phytosanitary bodies to start protocols. They arrange promotions. Facilities in the industry are excellent, and worker conditions extremely good. Obviously, food safety is strictly controlled, as it should be. If you go to Peru, the north part of Peru now, which has been the engine of the growth, some extremely large farms have helped to create this rapid expansion, and also economies of scale. Countries that have a wide variety of climates that can give a very long season are also important. That helps in giving an image to the customer that of not just being a niche, being an important player in the market. Obviously, a successful industry is going to have new and better varieties coming through. always challenging the traditional varieties. And having excellent logistical routes and good transit times to all world markets are important. And of course, having fruit that arrives in a sound and sound condition, eats well, and all the things that you'd hope to have when you receive the grapes. Peru is an unbelievable example, really, of how an industry can suddenly change. For many years, Peru just didn't really register on from the customer perspective. In 2004, they exported less than 11,000 tons of grapes. By 2010, it was still largely limited to an area in Ica, south of Lima, which had grown, but still only to 68,000 tons. And in the last 3 years, the development in the north of Peru, which is a unique climate, it's roughly eight degrees south of the equator, there's been massive expansion, both in seedless varieties and in Red Globe. 250,000 tons, according to the online website that we use, have been exported this year. It's an amazing growth rate. Now, some opportunities for India outside of the traditional end of January to middle of April sort of exports. Well, Asia is a market available between May and December. There's opportunities to export red seedless, red seeded, some white seedless varieties, and of course black seedless, which is a big growth item in Asia between those periods. There isn't sufficient fruit available. In Europe, between October and December, for white seedless, it's a very high price period. Currently, Peru are entering that into that market. Namibia is entering into that market, but still, there's plenty of scope. And then November to December on red seedless, very similarly. These gaps are opening up, are there because the short supply, of course, and they represent high price periods. But there's been a big shift away from Europe from all of these other leading origins, and it's opening up opportunities for India. The Indian grape industry in Europe is taking advantage at the moment of Chile's expansion in non-European markets. Then on some varietal gaps, I've identified here Red Globe, Crimson, new white seedless varieties to target some of the markets that currently India doesn't export to. There are many, many, I won't go through these all in detail, but they're there to read. They're really obvious gaps at the moment in the world supply of grapes. Now, I've tried to identify here 10 new markets that India should be working towards exporting to, and I've given some reasons why. Currently, Korea, which is only 14 days sailing away from here, receives 3,240 containers from Chile. It's a big white seedless market, selling 8% of Chile's exports. Now, the transit time is around 40 days. Peru is shipping 340 containers to this market, and yet India, being a white seedless supply market, doesn't have access into that market. So that is an absolutely obvious one. China and Hong Kong, where India does have access, but the volumes that India is shipping are really pitifully low compared, again, to Chile. 6,300 containers of grapes into that region from Chile, 4,500 containers from Peru, and it's only, again, a 14-day transit time. Now, the U.S. may not seem to be the obvious market for India, given the distance. But actually, on the east coast of the states, there are customers interested in Indian grapes. I've met them. 29,000 containers of grapes from Chile and Peru go to the U.S. market. And it's only a 20-day transit time for India. Brazil, again, maybe not an obvious market, but there's 200 million people in Brazil. There's no access for Indian grapes at the moment, but they're importing from Peru, and it's a constant growth from Chile. 1,600 containers from Chile to Brazil. And it's also a huge clamshell market. The retailers in Brazil love clamshells, and particularly Thompson Seedless. So India has the product for that market. And whilst the transit of 30 days is a little bit long, it's achievable. Canada, again, no market access. 1,700 containers from Chile and Peru go to that market. It's 26 days. And then we have Japan, no access at the moment. Philippines, Indonesia, all largely... Actually, the last two are largely red and black seedless and seeded markets. But that's a huge potential because they're only a very short transit away. Maybe down at the bottom of the list there, Thailand is, although there is access and some sales taking place there, it's clearly a big red and black market opportunity. Central America is probably the least of the top 10 that might be interesting, but it's a big growth area for Peru and Chile. Some latest trends in grapes. I think the major expansions in the world of grapes are only really taking place in the gap-filling origins like Peru. There's generally a production of less labor-intensive varieties. Even in countries where labor is cheap, and there's plenty of those, it's still the case. There's production of more colored varieties. Production yield is a major driving force these days. And of course, the Asian markets are a major consideration for any grower planting grapes today. The packaging of grapes is changing hugely. There's a big trend, particularly in the UK, but I know it's going to take place in China and Korea and many other markets where grapes are packed naked without bags and they're shipped and repacked in the market. That saves freight and handling. And of course, pre-packed sales at retail have grown hugely, almost to the exclusion of bags in many markets now. So what are the urgent industry needs in India? First of all, expansion into new and a wider range of varieties. Urgent market expansion. Protocols are needed urgently to open up some of those, some of those markets I've identified. New production areas, maybe in the far south that I've heard about, that can produce grapes on demand for world markets like Peru. We need international standards of pack houses, packaging, and cold storage as standards. We need whilst Europe is always going to be important for India, a focus away from Europe for the growth is necessary, I believe. And of course, whilst it's difficult in India, the thought of large-scale farms may not be easy to achieve, but certainly larger-scale farms are going to be needed to speed expansion. So where could India be in 2025? It's got the potential to do what Peru has do if the conditions were right. 250,000 tons of exports. There's so many gaps in that India could fill, given its climate options. It's literally going to be down to growers and the government and the trade bodies to facilitate those expansion potentials. India, for sure, can have an impact on Chile and Peru and South Africa and many markets, but I think there's room for everyone. It's currently, in my opinion, a huge missed opportunity. And of course, we need these new markets opening, and India should be selling to over 50 markets in 10 years' time. And facilities matching the best in the world, we are beginning to see that, and I know I've seen a huge improvement in Nasik in the last couple of years. And I believe India can have over 15 varieties, and I know there's things happening behind the scenes with the release of new varieties in India, and I think that's a great thing to be happening. And I think the production for exports of grapes from India could run between October and June, almost a 9-month industry. Just from the south of India and this area that I'm really interested in learning more about, and the transit times from the port of Tuticorin are extremely reasonable. And that just shows the potential of maybe a completely new area that can open up